Okay, welcome back now to the fourth segment. We're going to continue what we were talking about before, which really it just deals with race baiting and why these practitioners of division continue to keep the country stirred up and angry at each other for reasons that are rather specious, and I think Mike's going to give us those details in just a minute, but please consider this. We do everything on a biblical basis here. And if you were to pick up the Bible, turn to Proverbs, the sixth chapter, you'd find through, I think, chapter 6, around verse 13, but ending specifically in verse 19, a very important proverb, which simply says, it is an abomination to God to sow discord amongst brethren. 13 starts off with six things, no, seven are an abomination to God, and they list six, and then they get that last one. And those who sow discord amongst brethren. And I ask the question, isn't it odd that it is supposedly men of faith, pastors from the black community, who continually not only cite the grievances that they see, but they color them in such a fashion that it causes them to miss the importance of Proverbs 18:13. He who covers his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them shall see life. One of the great problems of, I see, these black race baiters are the fact that they cover their sin and don't admit it. So, Mike, do you have an example, do you think, of how white guilt contributes to race baiters being able to say, well, this man is just needlessly being prosecuted?
Yeah, so more recent notorious event,
yeah, give
right?
us an example.
George Floyd.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Okay, so here you have a... Well,
he's
I think
a
most,
gentle giant, right?
Well, most of
he's
us
a really
would call,
good guy.
I think most of us would call him a career criminal, you know, who put himself in a position with law enforcement that ultimately precipitated his death.
Well, wait a minute, though. Let's stop here a minute.
Uh-huh.
What's your degree in?
Oh, criminal justice.
You were in the Air National Guard, weren't you? What'd you do in the Air National Guard?
I was security forces, security police.
Okay, air-based ground defense. So
that's
you're the
right.
physical side of the Air Force, because those of us in the Air Force are kind of weenies, you know. We just, but
right.
you
Cheer
did
force.
You did the Army
right.
stuff.
Right.
And you learned takedown and all sorts yeah. of those tactics that they use.
Police
so
tactics was
you
taught.
Can kind of yeah. talk as an expert here. Okay, yeah. I'm going to shut up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Definitely some experience in this, right? And from what I've seen of those the video, and I'm not saying that Derek Chauvin properly applied his police tactics. I can't say that. I don't know the physical
force on
it. It doesn't
look different from what I see on
but
the
I, But I will tell you, it's very similar to what I experienced in Air Force security police training, you know, points of control on individuals. Neck was certainly one of the points of control, middle of the back, small of the back, you know, anywhere you can get control of an individual to apprehend them, you know, was fair game.
But he was just a good guy. He shouldn't have been treated that way, right?
Well, let's talk about him being a good guy. We're talking about George Floyd here, right?
Yeah, we are.
So we've got a little list of George Floyd's crimes, right? So he's been...
And this is before the event, right?
Yep, this okay. is yeah, before the event. He had been convicted of six burglaries, three car thefts, multiple illegal trespasses, cocaine and alcohol addictions, two violent home invasions, three armed robberies, dealing in fentanyl and methadone.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, really, yeah, fentanyl is extremely dangerous. Passing counterfeit bills, and... He beat four victims senseless. He had been arrested 23 times since 1998.
Oh, my Lord.
And, you know, so in my opinion, all five of the police officers involved in that case were politically prosecuted. All right.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
in my opinion, you're right anyway.
Yeah. I mean, most recently, just I think this past week, one of the police officers got his conviction, right? And... He was convicted of, I think, basically apathy towards what was going on between Derek yeah. Chauvin and George Floyd. But really, he was serving as the crowd calmer
right.
officer in that situation, right?
Because yeah. there's always a crowd
yeah.
around.
So somehow in him executing his duty as an officer, he still ends up on the wrong side of the criminal justice system.
And wasting his life in prison.
Yeah, and you have to think, that the prosecution of these officers was politically motivated more so than anything, you know. And when it comes to, racial matters, oftentimes what we find is you are guilty until proven innocent.
Let's go back to this fact.
Okay.
This man, George Floyd, was just a little bitty, gentle fellow, wasn't he?
No,
he's about 8'6" and weighed 800 pounds. Well, maybe not quite that big.
Sizable gentleman,
but
right.
You look at the officers that arrested him, they were physically smaller than him.
Definitely.
And he was a man of known violence.
Yes.
And they were restraining him. It took a number of people to restrain this gentle giant.
Yeah.
And because of white guilt, and because of the shakedown politics of these people like Benjamin Crump and Al Sharpton and some of the others, this man has been turned into a gentle giant, a hero.
Yes.
And some good men, including some black guys, are being prosecuted and their lives are over.
Yep.
Because of white guilt. And those black folks who have come along to decry that are called sellouts,
yeah,
and cannot step up and properly address what is happening. Ladies and gentlemen, racial division is going to destroy this nation. We've just seen the beginnings of it. We have to understand this can't continue, become informed on it, and take action to stop it. Okay, this segment's over. Join us on the backside, and we're going to continue this important discussion.